Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice, an independent streaming internet radio station available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, March 15th, 2012. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time. We just changed Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 888-773-4496. That's toll-free, 888-773-4496. You may also access this program through Blog Talk Radio, number 646-652-4620. We still have that number, one trunks over to the next. Send us your email anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, Sutton-Associates, that's Sutton-Associates.net, and sign up. In his monthly newsletter and podcast, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. For daily commentary on current issues, I suggest that you read the briefs by Paul Jacobs, Common Sense. Just go to thisiscommonsense.com. It is really an eye-opener to go to both of those, folks. It gives you insight. It gives you a perspective that you don't hear. And they're not radicals or anything like that. They take what is actually happening. They take reality. They put it into words that we can understand. It is critical that we do read those on a Paul Jacobs on a daily basis so you know what's going on and you see the logic behind our system of government. Liberty Talk Radio broadcasts are archived and available from our website as well as iTunes. You may also follow us on Twitter under @LibertyJoe. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. And by the way, we did not know our subscribe icon was not working for the longest time. We didn't know why no one was signing up. And we found out it wasn't working. Well, it's working now, folks. So please use it and do sign up. Good morning, everyone. The title of this morning's broadcast is We Are All Equal. The purpose of this program is not to talk about what a politician said or didn't say or did or didn't do. That you can hear anywhere. I like to talk concepts because if we understand the concepts, if we have an awareness, the word is awareness, that there is a concept other than what we've been molded to believe. And when I say believe, I mean, when we say we believe, we're saying we don't know, folks. When you say you believe, you say you don't know. If you knew, you wouldn't believe. You would know. I mean, it's a concept that people, another concept that people have a lot of difficulty grasping. You know, for example, and I have to harp on this because this is so critically important to our thinking. If we can only accept this, and when I say accept it, I mean really accept what I'm saying here as having some validity, then maybe we can move forward. Let's assume for a second my wife and I were going out to dinner. And, you know, when you lock up the house and whatever and close the garage door, you basically do it rather mindlessly. I mean, you just do it rote, you know, and you leave. Now, let's assume we're in the car and we're driving and everything is fine. And my wife says, honey, did you lock the back door? And I think for a second, well, I have no recollection because I didn't consciously do it. I did it by rote. Now, 9 times out of 10, you know, or maybe four times out of five, or whatever the case may be, I do remember to lock the back door. But I can't attest to it. I mean, I really don't know. Now, I don't want to appear too stupid or, you know, incompetent for locking up the house. So I told my wife, oh, I believe I did. She goes, oh, okay, good. You see what I mean? When I say I believe I did, that I'm saying I really don't know. I mean, that's the honest truth. And now, please don't translate this into something that goes into the you know, the religious things. You know, but we have to believe in something religious because that's what it is. I mean, religion is a belief system. But I'm just saying that when we say that, we have to understand when people say, "I believe," we are saying we don't know. If we say, "Did so-and-so say so-and-so 3,000 years ago?" We believe so. And we don't really know. We don't really know. No. You know, there's no certification. There's no ANSI standard. There's no nothing that says, yes, they did, you know. So understand that. And people walk around with these belief systems. And what the government does so well in our school system is they embed these belief systems into children's minds. You know, they can't prove it. They regurgitate. The history is constantly revised on a yearly basis. Books are changed. Books are changed, especially history books, and books on our history are revised depending on how we want to mold our children. I know it sounds like that only occurs in a closed communist country, you know, like Russia used to be and where China used to be, where everyone just, you know, repeats the same mantra and after a while they just believe it to be true. And again, I use the word believe to be true, right? But we do the same thing here. And the problem that we have today is that when you profess something, when you espouse a belief system, I'm sorry, not a belief system, espouse a principle, people feel very uncomfortable. And they feel uncomfortable because they've been bombarded with believing a contrary point of view, and they can't get out of it because once you believe, it's very difficult to unbelieve. I mean, it takes a neurological change. Now, I only say that the reason why I'm prefacing this is because this is what we do to our children. In our schools, this is why it's so important to have government schools. This is why it's so important that a majority of schools stay government schools. All we want, all the government, is a majority. Because we have a, quote, democratic system, basically, and the majority will always outvote the minority. Right? And that's and things will stay the same. Government is very safe. So when I say I talk concepts, so I'd like to see if people can start challenging their belief systems. I want to see people, their minds hurt. And mine does. I mean, you have no idea. I go through so consternation. You know, there's a Buddhist a saying that you know, life is a series of sufferings, you know, something like that, you know. And it sort of is. And understanding what is going on is sort of like that Buddhist saying. It's a series of suffering that we go through. Because it's not easy. It is very, very uncomfortable. I may be repeating myself. I haven't mentioned this. If I am repeating myself, I haven't said this in a long time. I spoke professionally on the principles of management. What a horrible subject, the principle. I really try to make it interesting, you know. In fact, now when I do it, it's a real comedy skit. It's a lot of fun. I love doing it. I don't even ever prepare anymore. I just go on a lark and just have fun with the audience. The reason why I'm able to do that with no prep, no nothing. Call me, say, "Hey, now would you speak to this group of 1,000 people?" "Yeah, I'll be there, you know. Yeah, let me get a ham sandwich first and I'll get there. I want to get a Coke, you know." And I go. I just get up. Well, one reason why I can do that is that I converted a belief system to a known system. And the way I did that is I studied for about 30 years. I mean, all the books, all of the great the great minds in management, and I'll just mention one, Peter Drucker, for example. I read most of his books, and I realized after studying, this is on my own. I was working, I was already in management for decades, you know, and here I am studying what I should have learned when I was in school 30 years ago, and I'm still reading books on it because I'm giving speeches. I really have to keep up with this stuff, and I realized that I didn't know any more today than I did 30 years ago. And it bothered me. I said, how come I still don't grasp this concept of management? I'm giving speeches. I'm getting paid good money to talk about it. And if I had to be honest with everyone, I would have to say, I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm not kidding you. I really did not know, and it bothered me. Remember that Buddha saying, you know, life is a series of, hardships or whatever it is, you know? This is a hardship. Suffering. I mean, without playing golf, going to the lake, I'm home and I'm outlining a book by Peter Drucker. Horrible. I didn't have to do that. But I was searching and searching. I was searching for the truth, folks. Searching for the truth. Isn't that ridiculous? They say, Joe, you've got to be awfully, awfully slow. If you have been studying something for 30 years, talking about it professionally for 30 years, and not only that, but in fact, doing it. Just think about that. Exercising what I learned in the job every day for 30 years. And then I say, I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, that's tantamount to being beyond retarded. I mean, mentally retarded. Beyond that. And it bothered me. It bothered me so much. My point being is it's got to bother everybody. This is the problem. Is that it doesn't bother. No one wants to be bothered. Everyone wants to be nice and nice and nice, right? So one day, there's a Monday, I can tell you, there's a day off. I'm outlining Peter Drucker's book on management. The name is Management. 907 pages. Never forget I was on page 786. And I stood there and said, I'm no further along today than I was 30 years ago. What's wrong with me? What is it that I don't get? Why is every year dozens of books and maybe even hundreds of books are written about management? I mean, no books are written about 1 + 1 = 2. They said it once. 1 + 1, they prove it. The empirical evidence is 1 + 1 = 2. Case closed. No more books on 1 + 1 = 2. And management should be the same thing. Should, here it is. Bingo. Case closed, that's it. No more books. But and I went back to the Library of Congress and had them extract books from me that were written. You're no longer available, and you had to specially sign and all this. I mean, you sign in blood to get some of these books because I got the original copies that maybe there was only 2 copies left in the world. By Taylor, for example, back at the turn of the century. And I'm not talking about 2000, I'm talking about 1900. Experiments that he had in managing people at the workplace. Fascinating books, fascinating stuff. But yet, I still didn't understand it. And then one day, I was on page 786, I never forget. I got up, and I drank too much coffee. You know where I was going, you know? And I stood there, and in the hall, I had like a lightning bolt hit me. Literally a lightning bolt hit me. And I stood there, and I leaned against the wall like someone just knocked the heck out of me, like someone just punched me in the head. And it all came clear. The whole concept of management of people came absolutely clear, clear as a bell. And I said, why didn't I see this 30 years ago? You see, folks, you can manage inventory. You should manage inventory. It has legs, you know that. You better manage your data processing, and you better manage your financing, et cetera, et cetera. There's one thing you can never manage, and you cannot manage people. Fascinating. As soon as that came to light, everything fell in place, absolutely everything. And it freed me up. I never prepared for a speech after that. Had a great time. My point in telling you this long, drawn-out story is that it took that much to convert a belief system, believing that you can manage people, to the fact that, no, you can't manage people. You can set an environment up for people to work and let them go. If they don't do it, They don't do it, and they're not doing the prescribed stuff for the job, you know, well, you let them go. You got to hire the right people, of course. But you can't manage them once they're in the place. And once I realized that, everything came clear. And by the way, I run my company that way. I run my company. I let everyone do what they want to do. You want to know something? They do a lot better job than I did. It's absolute chaos. It's absolute chaos. There's no rhyme or reason, but it works. I don't question it. My point being is that we have these belief systems that we develop and the government encourages that have absolutely no validity, has the same amount of validity as the validity that you can manage people. And let me tell you, I was tried on that concept. I gave a speech to high level executives once. At the end of the speech, a gentleman raised their hand. He says, "Well, Mr. Cristiano, in the proverbial, I beg to differ with you." And I said, "Please, sir, don't need to beg. Just differ with me. What is it?" He said, and he went on and on, just blah, 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 just garbage about how managing people, blah, 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 how important it was, blah, 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 you know. I said, "Thank you. Thank you very much for your insight." I said, "You know, I'm sure other people feel the same way, but they're reluctant to say that. So I appreciate you bringing it up." I said, "May I ask you just one question, a little personal? Do you mind if I ask you that question?" He says, "No, go ahead." I said, "How well do you manage your wife?" The room went dead. Absolutely dead. You can hear my eyelashes flicker. I mean, it was amazing. Everyone just went, people stopped breathing because it hit them. You can't manage people. But I'm just saying, you're taking a belief system. And here's the problem. We have belief systems, we buy into them, and then anything the government says, guess what? For example, now we actually believe that the President of the United States is more important than you. And you believe that. You see, we're all equal. I end every speech with the same way. I said, "Folks, voting if they remember." I said, "We are all equal. The only difference, we may have different jobs, different responsibilities, but we are all equal." I said, "And I can prove it to you. If the CEO of a president goes on vacation for 2 weeks, no one knows he's gone. Nothing. No one knows it. In fact, the company may run better, more efficiently. The person who answers the phone, the entry-level person, the phone operator who answers the phone, if she decides to unplug the phone for 2 weeks and go on vacation, your company is ruined." I said, "Think about that." Now, you can argue, "Oh, but the CEO is a long-term plan." Yeah, and how many screw up the company in the first place? There's no guarantee there. Don't give me that. Don't go there about long-term planning and all. You can't plan anything. I start each speech this way. "Ladies and gentlemen, who would have thought that some punk kid born in Harlem, New York, 68 and a half years ago, would be addressing a prestigious group such as you as this? On the subject of management in the state of in the city of Oklahoma." And I look at the audience and they think for a second. I said, "So much for long-term planning. So don't give me this long-term planning." I don't say this afterwards. I said, "You see, so don't give me this long-term planning. Oh, the CEO, most CEOs long-term plan their companies to oblivion. They'd be better off if they didn't have them, believe it or not." And I know many CEOs who will agree with me. So don't go there. So I'm just saying that when we have this belief system. I want to come back. I got to stop. I'm already past due on station identification. Let's have station identification just for a second, and then I want to come back and tie this thing together for you.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure Libertarian Talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Our toll-free number is 888-773-4496. That's 888-773-4496. We do have people lit up on the board. I'm sure you're listening on your computer, which I wouldn't know if you were. If you do and you want to ask a question, all you have to do is dial the one on your phone, and it'll indicate to me that you want to make a comment, ask a question, or even hopefully disagree with me. So don't be a bashful. You will not interrupt me. Do so at any time. Okay? It's 888-773-4496. I would love your comments anytime. To comments at libertytalkradio.com. I will get back to each one. Some of it takes me a little bit, a few days, but I will get back to everyone that sends me an email. Okay? Thank you. And thank you for listening this early in the morning. For some of you, it's pretty late, depending on where you're listening from. By the way, do you? I think I've mentioned this also before. You know, our largest listenership is from the city of Beijing, China, which I'm just so proud of. You know, that's wonderful. These people are hungry for concepts. They're hungry. They haven't been molded yet. They're realizing what they had before wasn't all right, and now they're interested in learning. We're not interested in learning anymore. I mean, believe me, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, I get hardly any listeners whatsoever. Beijing, China, off the charts. Unbelievable, isn't it, folks? Absolutely unbelievable. You know, and that's why I'm afraid someday the government's going to just shut down the station. But anyway, I'll keep on going until, you know, it lasts and do whatever I can with it. All right, the government, Eric Holder, the U.S. Attorney General, made a speech. And it may be in front of students. I forgot. I just don't remember where it was, but it was the past few days. And he said that the Constitution actually permits the president the right to select people for execution, even if they are U.S. citizens. Now, folks, when he said that, everyone in the audience should have rose on their feet and yelled and chanted, "No, he doesn't! No, he doesn't!" No, everyone sat there. And they listened, and they "Oh, I didn't know that." You see, what we have done, and what the government has done so beautifully, it has convinced everyone, it's given everyone a belief system that the president is somebody special. He's well above us. He's somewhere in God's category, right? And so he can do all these things. I mean, God can, you know, create tornadoes and earthquakes and all that. It's okay. We understand why God does that. And the president can do the same thing, kill people. We understand that. But if you as an individual kill somebody, even if you justify, even if this person's a bad person, a first-degree murderer, a rapist and all that, and you know he is, and you kill him, you'll go to jail. Not only jail, they'll probably execute you. Now, how do we take the concept we are all equal and apply that? How do we apply that? How do we make the president? We elect these bums, and they're bums. We elect these bums into office, and then we put them on a pedestal and say, they're godlike. They can do it. They can decide on life and death. Could you imagine that? Our president now can decide life and death just because he, listen folks, very carefully, he believes, underline that word believes, he believes that somebody may be a dissident or harmful to the state. So he's got to go. Or he may be a possible terrorist. So do away with him. He gives the order and they send. And what is really sickening is the fact that he doesn't kill him themselves. Now, if he went out with a gun and shot this person and killed him, that would be one thing. But he directs people in other departments to do so, who then instruct other people to select a person to perform this act of murder, this execution. And then when they select the person, this person voluntarily actually goes out there and commits the act of murder. And saying,
well, you know, it's from the President of the United States. I got this little letter here, memo. I got to kill this guy, so I kill him. It's my job, you know. You know, I'm an American. It's my job. You know, I was just doing my job. Just like the Germans. And by the way, the Russians, even more so than the Germans, sent people to death camps. Death camps. And there were soldiers who kept them there and killed them. And why? They were only doing their job, man, you know.
They weren't bad people. How could we say the Germans in the death camps and the Russians in the gulags, how could we say that these soldiers were bad people? How could we? We can't. You know why?
They were just doing their job, man. You know, that's they give them orders. They did their job. They were really nice people, you know. Otherwise, they did a nice job, you know. They did a pretty good job, too. They killed about 20 million in Russia and about 6 million in Germany. Yeah, they did a pretty good job. Now, if you said that, people would go, are you nuts? Are you crazy? Are you demented? Is your mind turned to mush? And yet, when the government gives, our government, or our president, gives the order to kill someone without due process, it's okay. It's fine. Because we have this belief system that the president is not equal to us. He is better than us. Could you imagine that person who's our president now, I perceive as being better than me? All the things that he has done to this country so far, and not only him, but every president before him. If I was like any president that I even had any experience with going back, I would expect my wife to leave me. She'd say, I don't want to be married to a person like that. I thought I married a human being. This guy authorizes drone aircraft to bomb Yemen. With one little problem, they forgot to tell the Yemen government. Kills people. And yet he's above me. He's better than me. We're not equal. He is not my equal. You bet he's not my equal. I can tell you that he's not my equal. If I was his equal, I would commit suicide. I would throw myself off a cliff on some jagged rocks. End it all. I could not live with myself. I would be suicidal if I was equal to the president. Or any president that I know of. Bush and all the rest of them. And yet, we are molded to believe that the president is somebody special. Yeah, he's somebody special. He's somebody who belongs in a jail cell or an insane asylum. And for saying that, I'm a belligerent. And if I'm a belligerent, I can be arrested and I can be snuffed out. Just think of that. I put myself in peril. Folks, when are we going to wake up that we've got a major problem? A real major problem. And this problem extends well beyond, you know, Republican, Democrat, the system of voting, House Bill 159, what all that stuff. Well beyond that. It has to do with the way we think. If we cannot change the way we think and the way we think of ourselves and the concept of liberty, like just as I realize that there was no such thing as management, we should realize there is no such thing as the President of the United States. I mean, there may be somebody there physically, but it doesn't mean anything. He's just there in the event that someone forgets. Someone forgets, folks, that I am a free and sovereign person in and of myself. If someone forgets that, the President's there to remind them, to say, hey, Bob, you can't do that. That person is free. He's a free individual. He's sovereign in and of himself. Back off. That's what he's there for. Only job. Only job he has. And if Congress wants to do something, you can't do that. You're infringing on the equal rights of others. Cut it out. That's all he has to do. In fact, that's why I think Ron Paul would be such a great president. Because the only word that the President of the United States needs to know is this. No. Anything comes up.
Well, do you know that the country of so-and-so just attacked the other country and they're fighting and there's a widespread this and that and that's a, should we send our troops in there? And that?
No. And if I was president, I'd say, nope. And I was just having my donut and coffee and you interrupted me and I'm in a bad mood now. You put me in a bad mood. Please leave. That would be it. Over. No speeches on television. No, well, we can't sit around while this so... What do we know? We don't know anything. What we hear is what they want us to hear. You see, this whole world situation, the whole world financial, folks, you have to understand something, that the whole world financial situation, the whole world political situation is a mirage that doesn't exist. It does not exist as you think you know it. It is so convoluted to benefit the very, very few, and I mean few, you could probably count them on your hands, the very few people that really benefit by this. And there's six and a half billion people in this world, a handful of people who benefit by this financial system, or he can even understand it, at the expense of everyone else. And we, on a daily basis, we are bombarded on that stupid television, you know, what is going on? No, folks, you're not being told what's going on. I'm sorry, you're just not being told what's going on. And we have to stop for station identification.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com. Political talk.
Oop. Almost went again. Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. We would love to hear your comments, your opinions, your, I guess, even most importantly, your criticisms. Please call toll-free 888-773-4496 if you do so. 888-773-4496. We still have our number for Blog Talk Radio, which is 646-652-4620. It's still a live number. One trunks over to the other, or transfers over to the other, whatever they call it. And if you do, just press the 1 on your phone, and that'll indicate to me on the phone board that you want to be part of the show. Send me your comments anytime to comments at libertytalkradio.com, especially people who are listening to this on a rebroadcast. Love to hear what you have to say. I'll make a program out of it, please, and don't be bashful. Comments at libertytalkradio.com. And for those of you listening, thank you for listening in this early in the morning, and some of you late at night, depending on where you're listening from. And remember, our largest audience is from Beijing, China, which surprises the heck out of me, but that's the way it is, and probably I can understand that. All right, now we're talking, I even forgot where we were. I just like any discontinuity. I used to have a program, we had commercials, you know, it was, I think Republic Broadcasting or something. And, you know, it was on AM/FM and all this stuff, you know, they broadcasted all over the place. And you know what I hated? I hated the commercials. 5 minutes of stupid commercial, and we'll be back in a moment. And, blah, 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 you know, Bob Palmolive soap, blah, 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 you know, and you'd sit there and you'd sit there. And by the time I went back, I had no idea what I was talking about. I had no idea where I was. I disliked it. I called. I said, I'm out. I quit. I can't do this. I can't do the commercials, you know. Even my own commercials, I don't like. I mean, even the interruptions telling people where to call in, I don't even like. Anyway, enough of that. Well, we only have about 10 more minutes, but without understanding this concept that we are all equal, truly all equal, I don't care if you're a janitor, Buffett, you know, that billionaire, and the janitor that works in one of his buildings that just mops the floor, they are equal. I know you're thinking, oh, now you can't be equal. Oh, yes, they are. You know, I'll prove it to you. I'm going to prove it to you. We'll go to any graveyard in the world, all right, and you pick me out the most important person there. Think about it. You know, a friend of mine went to a conference. And this is really, I mean, it is, it's frightening. He said, you go to a graveyard, you see dates like, you know, 1910 to 1990 or whatever, you know, and then a dash, you know, 1910 to 19-1990, that's where they lived. And he said, just think, he said, right now we're all living in the dash. That's frightening, isn't it? Sort of speaks to our mortality. And yet, we have this mortality. We're here for such an incredibly short period of time. And yet, we have people who think they're more important than others. Unbelievable. Now, there are good people. There's people who are not so good, you know, and it's unfortunate. But they're all equal. And you see, they're all equal in the eyes of the law. So when Eric Holder
the Attorney General, I think it was at Northwest University. That's right, Northwest University. I just got a note, Northwest University, indicated that the Constitution gave the president the right to kill people, even Americans, without due process. Where was the outrage? Northwest University, Western University. That's a big college. That's a highly regarded college. Why wasn't there a... Why didn't they rip that arena down? Why didn't they stand up and chant, "No, he don't. No, he don't." And I know that's grammatically incorrect. "No, he don't." And why didn't they take that person and just, not physically, but insist that he leave the podium? Get off that podium. Get away from that lectern. You can get out of here. We don't need to listen to that. And yet, nobody, and they stood there and they listened to him. What do you think was in their minds? Well, I can tell you some things probably. Some may have disagreed, but they don't want to say anything because they don't want to lose their, opportunity to graduate from Northwestern University, you know. And they all clap, yay, you know. They should have run this guy out of town. Now, here's people who are supposed to be the brightest in our country, or one of the brightest in our country. And they stood there and they accepted what he had to say. Oh, my God, that's horrible. That is absolutely horrible. And you see, this is why what we did is a lot of factors. Many of them are on government grants. They say, "Oh, I don't want to lose my government grant. I won't be able to graduate and then I won't get a job." Well, you're not going to get a job anyway, fella. And gal, you're not going to get a job. Most likely there's no job out there. You're just going to be on the hook to the government for the rest of your life. But also they're fighting their belief system, saying, "Well, you know, when I went to grammar school or elementary school, they taught me the president was somebody special. I mean, king-like. I mean, you thought of this. Oh, the president. If the president walked right now to my office, what do you want? He's no different than anybody else. No different than anybody else. I wouldn't treat him any differently than anybody else. Wouldn't be disrespectful to him, but I wouldn't treat him godlike." And that goes the same for all of the prime ministers and presidents and dictators around the world. Ain't no difference. And the only difference between the dictators overseas and ours is that we sort of have a belligerent dictator. But yet we accept that. Because this is our belief system. And we do not understand that we are all equal. Every one of us are equal. Every one of us. Some of us do really bad things. And you know something? I've done some really bad things in my life too that I regret. I mean, really stupid, stupid things. Especially when I was young. Really. I wish I could erase that crap, you know? But it's all part of life, you know? It didn't make me a bad person. Maybe a person who did something bad at that point in my life. I regret it. I wish I could undo it, which I can't. I mean, I didn't kill anybody or anything like that, you know. But I mean, it hurts other people. You know, it's hurtful. Folks, if we could understand that concept, the concept that I espoused during this program, only then could we move forward and say, I now am starting to understand the concept of liberty. Because you cannot understand the concept of liberty if you believe that the president is unequal to you, unequal, and on a much higher plane. There's no equality. There's no freedom. How could there be freedom in a society when you have certain people better than others? There's no freedom. It's a class system or caste system. We have a class and caste system here in the United States. It's very subtle, but it's there.
Oh, Warren Buffett.
Oh, Warren Buffett. Oh, you know. You know, I can make a case that this guy ain't so pretty. I'm not here to bash Warren Buffett, but I mean, we've made him godlike. Don't kid yourself. This guy ain't godlike. In fact, I think my morals are much firmer ground than his. When I've seen some of the things that he's done that I would never have done because they were wrong. They were not the right thing to do. You see, once we understand that everyone is equal and there's a president whose only word that should utter out of his mouth is no, and Congress that should only be watching the other guy to make sure he doesn't get out of turn and protects our liberty, once we understand that we are sovereign, that the nation is not sovereign, the state is not sovereign, the city is not sovereign, we are sovereign. That sounds like an anarchist, doesn't it? Like, oh, everyone's a riot in the street. No. The toughest form of government, folks, the most difficult form of government is self-government. Very difficult. Govern yourself. Govern thyself. I say this like, govern thyself. And you'll find it's very difficult. It is so much easier if someone enacts a law and enforces a law and you have to abide by it. Oh, I got to do it because that's the law. That's what I got to do, you know. But when you have to do that, because it's the right thing to do and you are sovereign, that gets a lot more difficult. A lot more difficult. And it seems like here in America, we take the easy way out. We actually think that there's a financial system. There's no financial system in this world. It's financial chaos. And everyone who knows what's going on is sitting at the edge of their seat waiting for that one transaction that's going to precipitate some sort of avalanche, financial avalanche, and destroy it all because no one understands it. I don't care who you are, no one understands it. No one. And let me tell you something, I don't, and I stay away from it. Remember this when you're doing your taxes and how equal you are when you got to get all these papers together to prove to the government how much you made to make sure the government got their share. You know, what kind of equality is that? Well, we've had some listenership today, this morning, which I'm pleased with, but we haven't had any questions. That I really wish we would have. I want to thank everyone for listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Right now, we're going to close it up. Next Wednesday evening, we're going to have Andy Sutton on, Wednesday evening, and he'll give us an update of what is going on. I've read his latest newsletter, which I subscribe to. It's very interesting. So, join us next Wednesday, 7 o'clock Central Time, and we'll be listening to Andy Sutton give us an update on the financial situation. Okay? Thank you for listening in. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. Ranch Acres Audiology is a family hearing practice at 3227 East 31st Street in Tulsa. They may be reached at 918-749-7711. Call them for all your hearing needs. You'll be glad you did. Folks, you can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated, your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government is like training wheels that control the ride in your every move. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, don't steal. The government hates competition. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.